is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020. Producing from his home studio in Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And Taylor, boy, we were going back and forth last night. How do we handle this? What do we do? And we decided to plow ahead because it does look like they're going to try to play baseball this year.
You had the very specific guidelines here. There has to be a resolution. So the players union rejecting the offer wasn't a resolution. I thought it was. I was like, okay, we're going to do a pod. You said, no, we have to have a response from the league. We got that. We are here and we are talking theoretical baseball in the near future. How about that?
Yeah, theoretical is a good way to put it at this point. We'll see how this all plays out. It's not totally resolved. They're going to move ahead. Here's the news. The players voted 33-5 in their Zoom meeting yesterday to reject the owner's 60-game proposal. And shortly afterward, Commissioner Rob Manfred then announced his intention to implement a 60-game season at full pay with camps to begin a week from today. But Manfred asked the players to respond to two questions, and he wants an answer by the end of business today. One, will the union agree to report in a week? And two, will they agree to the health and safety protocol? The agents and players I spoke with on Monday evening expect that baseball will get an opportunity to try to move forward. Of course, as we've said all along, baseball is like a rowboat in a hurricane during the situation because of the coronavirus. Because there's no agreement under the terms dictated by Major League Baseball, the postseason will remain at 10 teams. Remember, there had been a proposal for expanded playoff. That goes away. The players will not receive forgiveness on the $170 million in salary advance they received as part of the March agreement. They'll get no money from the postseason. The players have not agreed to wear on-field microphones. The teams will not wear advertising patches on the uniforms. And the universal designated hitter, will not be put in place for this year. We'll just have to wait and see how that goes you see if there's some sub-negotiations, so to speak. Some of these certainly seem counterproductive for the players in the short term and the long term. Trevor Bauer went off on Twitter about this situation. Of course, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, he tweeted out, "It's absolute death for this industry to keep acting as it has been. Both sides were driving the bus straight off the cliff. How is this good for anyone involved? COVID-19 already presented a lose-lose-lose situation, and we've somehow found a way to make it worse. Incredible." His second tweet, "If there's going to be a fight, the time for that fight is after the 2021 season when a new CBA is negotiated. 5 years of potential change. We're doing irreparable damage to our industry right now over rules that last at most 16 months. WTF kind of sense does that make?" His third tweet, and this was after a few hours, so it was almost like Trevor was assessing where baseball, where the players are. He asked a rhetorical question. "So we gave up shares of playoff money, eliminating the qualifying offer for 2021, paycheck advance forgiveness, COVID-19 protections, and protection for non-guaranteed ARB contracts for next year in order to hold on to our right to file a grievance?" And then he's got two emojis questioning that logic. And we'll be talking about all that with David Schoenfield coming up. Before we get to that, now more than ever, have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for the high-quality, top-tier gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. Start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show, mate!
Welcome to the show! Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby!
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN. And look, I'll just give you a broad question and let you swing away any way you want, Dave. How you feeling about all this?
Well, look, I guess as of now, we're going to have some form of baseball, so that's a good thing. We love the sport. How we got here, obviously, enormously frustrating. Everybody has an opinion on this. I guess I would say this. I think we ended up where we probably would have ended up, even if all the negotiating had gone on in back rooms and the players and the owners hadn't leaked everything out. Is it fair? Look, again, everybody has their own opinion. I'm a fan of the sport. I just want to see baseball, and we might get it. I don't think that's a lock with the way the virus is spreading in certain states now, but we might get baseball. 60 games, to me, that's better than zero.
Yeah, there. I remember back in 81, I was 17 years old when they settled that strike, and then you're like, woohoo, all-star game to start, we're ready to go. 95, spring of 95, when the court decision comes down, by future Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and they quickly resolve the differences right after that. You're like, woohoo, they have a deal. I don't know how to feel in this moment because, yes, you're going to have baseball, but wow, that it still feels like we have so much to navigate through.
No, we do. And we, and most importantly, all these health protocols and guidelines that are going to be implemented. And I guess the players will have to officially approve that. But, I think it gets back to, I saw Brett Anderson, the pitcher, tweet this last night, which is, what happens when we all get it, meaning the virus. And we've seen all these positive tests pop up in some of the various workout facilities. Novak Djokovic had a tennis tournament in Serbia and four players tested positive, including him. So once you start getting these athletes congregating together, no matter the protocols and the testing, something's going to happen. Some players are going to get it, and that's the concern. What's the fallout when that does happen?
You're exactly right, which is why, you hope that they can get through a schedule. I have serious doubts whether they can even get through training camp, a second spring training, but we'll see. Here's the other part of this that I really, it just makes you cringe. The fact that there was no agreement on a schedule. I tweeted this out right after we got word that the players voted down the agreement. You can see the dominoes now all ready to set up and tumble, and one of them has already fallen. Implementation of a short season by MLB. The next domino, some players choosing not to play. Based on my conversations with people on the player side last night, this morning, I think that's going to happen. There are going to be some players, whether it's coronavirus or potential free agents or and we'll explain why, but potentially some young players who might decide, look, they're not going to play. Three, a players association grievance, which seems to be a big part of the union strategy. Four, the upcoming free agents, Dave, in the free agent market, they're going to get destroyed because there's no agreement. Yeah. There's no protections put in place for them. And then all major labor issues merely deferred to next spring, which is, I feel like as you go along here, it's mutually assured destruction.
Well, no, I agree. Look, there's going to be this cloud hanging over the sport, not just this year, but all of next year, because the CBA, is going to be there all summer. The players, look, in the long run, I think the players were going to lose no matter what. The economic fallout from the money the owners are going to lose this year is going to go into 2021, 2022, maybe even beyond. So, and that's a pretty good free agent class next winter. They're going to totally get screwed because there's not going to be team spending, and that's already been an issue in recent years for free agents. The whole economic model of free agency just isn't working anymore for players. So I assume that's going to be a CBA issue, so this cloud is just, it's very dark. I hate to say it, but I agree with you.
It's really interesting. All along, I kept on waiting for, owners collectively, the union leadership to really look at the situation from 30,000 feet, that the golden goose is being killed. And last night, Trevor Bauer was the one who tweeted out, and there are a lot of, rank and file on the management side, rank and file among players who feel like Trevor's been out there too much and that his messaging was off. But last night, man, after he started tweeting and asking some questions and basically asking big picture about what are we doing here, I had so many texts from people around the game saying, I can't believe it, but I agree with Trevor 100%. What'd you think of his tweets?
Yeah, but I'd love to be a fly on the wall that first day of the new spring training when Bauer goes in the clubhouse with his teammates, right? Man, that's going to be an uncomfortable setting. Hey, look, I disagree with Trevor Bauer on a lot of stuff, but he's not afraid to put himself out here. And, he had the guts to go basically against, the union stance on this. So, and look, I think he's right. The big picture, my thing is, I don't know if anybody is worried or trying to protect the future of the game. And this is, I think, both sides, maybe particularly ownership, but it's got to be more than just how much revenue are we generating in the sport this year, but are we growing the sport? How are we giving this sport to younger kids and making this sport accessible to younger kids? We've all seen the numbers on the average age of the TV audience, and it's older, much older for baseball than other sports. In the big picture, aside from what's going on in 2020, you want to make this sport more accessible, more entertaining, and more popular for the younger generation. That's what I worry about long term, that baseball's not doing a good job at that.
Yeah. Now, we've talked on the podcast about how if they come up with an agreement, or not an agreement, if the system is implemented on the players, there's going to be potential chaos, a potential circus, players opting out. And we've talked about, potential free agents, how the risk reward equation for them might be like, for a shortened season, maybe I won't even participate. I want to protect my interest going into the open market. But the fact that there could also be young players lacking incentive to participate was sort of crystallized for me when I saw this tweet from Bob Nightingale of USA Today, my old friend. He tweeted out, the fact that there was no agreement between MLB and the union means that 19% of all players will be playing for virtually free this year, earning $25,000 or less, since they already received their advance money before May 24th. Also, there will be no postseason shares for any player. So if you're a young player, you got less than 2 years of service time, you've already received some of your pay based on the terms earlier in the year. I got to tell you, Dave, if you have like a nagging, let's say you're a starting pitcher and you got a little soreness in your shoulder at the end of second spring training, you're going to risk that when you're not getting any more money for the rest of the season. I could see players dropping out on both ends of this.
Yeah, and there's an NBA player, I forget his name, who's a pending free agent, and just said he's not going to come back if the NBA resumes. And he specifically said he doesn't want to get hurt when he's about to make a lot of money. But back to Trevor Bauer, he's a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
Marcus Stroman's a free agent. Most of the top names are hitters, and they're obviously at less risk for an injury. But yeah, if you're a pitcher who's about to make a big payday, and in this season, there's that risk. You push yourself too hard early on, get hurt. Yeah. I mean, that's a big risk for some of these guys. So yeah. And even a younger player, so I would not be shocked, especially if we see some pitchers very reluctant to play this season.
Now, also because there was no agreement, some of the terms that had been on the table, potentially an expanded playoff field, potentially universal DH, potentially the players wearing microphones, being accessible during broadcast, all of that goes away. I got to tell you, Dave, I really hope that we get a sub-negotiation where some common sense applies, where the two sides go, okay, we know he didn't agree big picture, but please wear microphones, and please let's have universal DH, and please can we work out a thing where we get more playoff teams? Because that doesn't help anybody not to do those things.
No, it doesn't. And I guess on the bright side, no advertising patches on jerseys, but that's probably inevitable down the road. Yeah, look, I was looking forward to an expanded playoffs. I'm not a fan of the one game wild card. I think that's just screws a team. You quote unquote make the playoffs and you got one game. I think that's an absurd system. I would have loved to see the use this season as an experiment for a different kind of playoff system. So that's disappointing. Universal DH looks like we might get that regardless this year, but I think it's time to implement that in all future years. So yeah, unfortunately, you know, that's the fallout is the stuff actually that's being affected on the field that could have been a positive.
So David, a common question when I talked to club executives on Monday night was, how will the peer pressure on player participation manifest? Like, they're wondering what direction that's going to go. Because in a typical season, as you know, there might be players who might be having a nagging injury or some smaller thing in the eyes of their teammates. And there is that feeling, hey, we need to get you on the field. When I was covering the Yankees, for example, I remember how some of the veterans thought that earlier in his career, Andy Pettit didn't know how to pitch through discomfort in his elbow. And, you know, that became a thing for a while. Like, come on, let's push ourselves here to work this out. Well, under the current situation, because as we've talked about, you know, what's at stake for free agents? What's at stake for younger players? You know, the relative compensation, the risk reward factor. You know, some of the executives are like, okay, which way is that going to push? Are there going to be, for example, the typical dynamic of veteran players sort of pulling other guys along, saying, we need you on the field? Or in this weird situation with the coronavirus, will it be every man for himself? Where the players will be like, hey, everybody's got to make their own decision. If my teammate, the potential free agent, decides he doesn't want to participate, I'm going to respect that. I don't know the answer to that. I feel like from team to team, it's going to be different. What about you?
Yeah, as you were reading that off, I was thinking, well, I would say my first instinct is every guy for himself, but I think there's going to be certain teams, or even in a shortened season, you know, if we get through it, a World Series title is still a World Series title. And I think those teams that come together, a team like the Dodgers, you don't think Clayton Kershaw is going to want a World Series ring even in this season? Of course he does, you know. So, you know, those teams I think that have the good veteran leadership that want to win even in this kind of a scenario are the teams that are going to come together and be successful. But there's going to be other teams, I could see them just completely falling apart, you know, not coming together. So yeah, that'll be really a fascinating storyline to watch unfold.
And another one, and a player, I'm going to be really curious to see what he does. I've gotten to know him a little bit, you know, working on an E60, is Mike Trout, who's the most prominent player in the game. You know, he did an interview when we were early in this process, and he talked about his wife's pregnancy and how in order to live in a bubble that was being talked about back then, that he would have to be away from his wife for the birth of his child. And he basically indicated, I'm not going to do that. And I am really curious about how he's going to handle this current situation, because if he goes away, he joins a team, he obviously, you know, leaves Millville from the bubble that he's living in now and has during this time, he potentially could be more at risk. Would that mean that he would reduce the chances that he could be there for the birth of his first child? And, you know, Mike is not someone who's going to tell other people what to do, but he's an important figure in all of this. Like, I think that if Mike Trout opts out and says, look, for my family considerations, I think other people will understand that. But it might also, you know, give some cover for other players who don't want to participate. I'm going to be really curious about what he does.
No, and that's, we got to remember, as much as we all want baseball, there's still a very serious pandemic across the entire country. And yeah, a lot of these players have families and young kids and older parents and so on. And of course, just like we are, they're concerned about the health of those close to them. That's not going to go away just because we're going to be playing baseball on TV in front of empty stadiums. You know, and all those logistics, we still got to learn the exact specifics even on where all these games are going to be played. But it's a legitimate issue, and I'm not going to fault any player who says, I don't want to play. I got family issues to worry about this year.
First off, I mean, I have no doubt that his instinct is whatever is going to happen, I'm going to make sure I'm there for the birth of my child. And I also think Mike has already made more money than he's ever going to spend in his life. So anybody who ascribes like, well, it's all about, no, it's not. And that's why I'm really, you know, he's kind of in a tough spot because he is a leader among the players.
And I think, Buster, you know this. In the end, most of these guys, they love baseball. They really want to play, you know. But again, let's just not ignore the absolute unique circumstances going on here. And that's aside from the all the ugly negotiations. So every player should absolutely be allowed to make his own personal decision without heavy criticism from the media or from fans.
100% agree with you. All right, sir. I appreciate it, David.
All right. Thanks, Buster.
Before we get to Hembo, check out the latest edition of The Low Post. Zach talks to Hawks coach Lloyd Pierce about the intersection of basketball and social justice in Atlanta, and the WNBA's Renee Montgomery about sitting out the 2020 season to focus on reform. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Jumping into the numbers.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the winner is Cincinnati by 200 points. Why, you worthless hunk of junk.
This is Hembo Knows.
Hembo is Paul Imbakides, a researcher at ESPN who's a honcho on the show Get Up. He told us he's a head honcho. We checked with Mike Greenberg, and he said that he's merely an inspiration for wild partying. Hembo, how are you doing this week?
Buster, I'm doing well. I will qualify that well in saying that I will be ready to party if we do indeed get our baseball. We've been talking for the last 6 weeks, you and I, about how this day would never come, and this day might have come. It's hard to say so definitively right now, but I'm really excited. I'm optimistic what the news the day might bring.
All right. So what do you expect to see once they get going?
My expectation is that the players will sort of grit their teeth and agree to the proposal from the league last night, in which they'll play a 60-game season, and they'll probably make some, I guess what I would describe as slight modifications to the health and, you know, the health contingency, because of course, as we've talked about for the last 2 months, that is really the only thing that matters. It is going to make it challenging for some players potentially with, you know, 1 week turnaround time to be able to get themselves in the city in which they're going to train for the next few weeks, you know, to gear up towards the season. But Buster, the thing that I don't understand for the life of me is why the players were willing to forfeit the expanded postseason just to have the right to grieve. That one, I just can't wrap my head around.
And I'm going to ask you about that in a second, because it certainly was borne to light by what Trevor Bauer tweeted overnight. But before I get to that, I'm going to be Dr. Doom for you, okay, when you talk about, you know, the players, you know, gritting their teeth and moving ahead. I will ask you logically, if you are a potential free agent, okay, and you've already qualified for free agency by appearing and playing one game, for example, would there be logic in you competing for and putting yourself at risk for a shortened season? And I'll even, you know, talk about young players, too. As Bob Nightingale tweeted out over the weekend, that if you're a young player, if you have, you know, basically under 2.5 years of service time, you're going to make a total of $25,000 for the remaining games of the season because of the salary advances earlier this year. It would seem like there are going to be players on both ends of that spectrum who are going to be maybe stretched to find real personal motivation to play.
Yes, I agree with that. I think by and large, these are ball players and they're going to want to play. I would approximate that number at least 90%. But you have identified two different kinds of players that would have a lot to gain by potentially sitting out. I hadn't really thought much about the players with fewer than 3 years of service time because those players theoretically are trying to continue to build up their value. But the amount of money in the grand scheme of these things, obviously, would be pretty inconsequential and insignificant that they would be earning in a season that only approximates 37% of its normal length. That's a good thought. The other notion we've talked about before on the show, players like George Springer and Marcus Semien and Mike Minor, who have a lot more to gain in potential free agency than they would in this season, especially for those like players on fringe playoff teams that may have thought they had an opportunity to compete for the playoffs this year, because we were told all along that there was going to be a potential expansion. So when you consider those two ideas, in addition to the fact that we haven't even begun talking about health in terms of the exposure to COVID-19, there's so many variables here. What we're finding is the NBA being so far ahead of Major League Baseball in this sense. There were already a player yesterday in the NBA, a member of the Washington Wizards, said, "I'm not coming back because I'm not willing to take the chance." He, like George Springer, like Marcus Semien, like Mike Minor, is about to enter free agency. So if we're seeing it in the NBA, I'm certain, especially given the relationship between the league and the union right now, that we'll see it across Major League Baseball.
What did you think of Trevor Bauer's tweets?
I thought Trevor, I've been very critical of Bauer in the past, but I thought he nailed it yesterday, to be totally candid with you, Buster. I don't know that there's a player that's had his hand on the pulse of this situation quite better than Trevor Bauer has. And because there hasn't been what I would describe as like sort of loud, vocalized leadership from the players coming from, you know, one source or a few sources, he's sort of become the voice of reason throughout all this. And a couple things that he said that I really take away from. The first of which is that he said, "Guys, we should be playing the long game here. We're giving up a lot in the short term and potentially sacrificing way more when we should have all along been focusing on the next collective bargaining agreement." Buster, you wrote a column about that 2 months ago, and you and I talked about it. It's a shame that it's taken this long for these guys to realize just what they're missing by thinking so short term. The second thing is the fact that all the things that he listed that you gave up, that the players are willing to give up to be able to keep their right to grieve, which obviously there's a lot of legalese to this that's above my pay grade, and I'm sure that the Tony Clark and the executives there have their reasons for it. I'm certain of that. But in my opinion, the amount of potential revenue and potential upside for the sport, for these players to lose a potential opportunity to play in the postseason, like, that's the goal of every single player. And to see an easy path into the playoffs for more than half of your constituents, in my opinion, was a big win for the players here. One of the biggest wins in addition to the universal DH. And to give that up, to me, seemed like a real miss. A real miss when you consider all of what's at stake this season, the amount of money lost in the regular season. Like I said at the beginning, Buster, that one really, I'm flummoxed by that, and I've not heard a good explanation for it.
Hembo, I tweeted out yesterday morning that if the pursuit of a grievance was part of the union leadership's big picture strategy, that to me is like banking your financial future on the assumption you're going to win the lottery. Like, there's so many parts of chances. And I will tell you, I tweeted that out, and I immediately got texts from players, folks on the player side, who were saying 100% agree. Like, what are we doing here?
That doesn't
like,
surprise
that would be a big
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
Like, a
yeah.
big, yes. you know, a big part of the strategy. Go ahead.
I don't understand it for the life of me. It's like a manager arguing that, like, you know, protesting a game is likely to turn over the result. We never see it happen, right? And these things take so long to figure. And like what it tells me is that the relationship is still so bad that they wanted to have whatever like small piece of leverage that they could possibly muster. But like you said, these things are inconsequential, and these parties should have thrown out the right to grieve weeks ago. Like, it's something that we've talked about. I'm that's one that I really struggle with, Buster, because if even for one season guaranteed more than half of your players the opportunity to participate in the playoffs, not only is that a dream come true for a lot of people, not only do fans get to see players like Mike Trout they've never seen in the playoffs, but the opportunity to make more money in the short term is huge, and the opportunity for it to really work and potentially be a part of next season and in the future, the next collective bargaining agreement, is a huge win for players. We're talking about massive increases in potential salaries. So the idea of, like you said, choosing to hold on to that one small thing is so short-sighted, and I think it's very representative of where we've been the last 2 months. I think if I were a player waking up this morning on the Phillies or the White Sox or the Padres or the Blue Jays, I'd be livid that I lost that chance.
All right, Hembo, thanks for doing this.
Later, boys.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Tuesday. We'll keep it abbreviated here for today, and this isn't so much a question as just some catharsis from Zane at Liberty Zane. He writes in, "Dear Major League Baseball and MLB players, neither of you want to get back on the field for fans. You're only worried about squeezing every possible dime out of each other. So don't at me in your statements and tweets about how you want to play for fans. You don't. You're all selfish." Is this the vibe you're getting in your mentions? Because this was kind of the vibe on the Bleacher Tweets hashtag.
I think a lot of vibes, no question. I mean, a lot of the people I heard from last night were along those sentiment. There were some that were like, thank goodness, you know, baseball's coming back. I actually had a couple people tweeted out when I sort of forecast what's to come, and it's potentially pretty ugly. Some people were like, let's be positive. Baseball could come back. Taylor, how are you feeling about this, where we sit today?
I'm still with you. I'm worried about COVID, obviously. I'm worried about how seriously the players are gonna take this shortened season. I think in theory, like I said earlier, theoretical baseball, 60 games for me as like not like the biggest fan in the world, like that sounds like a lot of fun. So I hope it is a lot of fun, but I'm still not sure. And you know, doing this podcast for the last 3 months, I'm skeptical that it's all going to come together.
What'd you think of Trevor Bauer's tweets?
Spot on. I mean, I know that as a podcast, we've kind of gone back and forth on how we feel about him speaking out like this, but I think it's great for him to you know, to say what we've been saying, you know, the absolute death of the industry. Like this has been awful for them, and for him to get out there and say it, you know, as these theoretical baseball plans come together, I endorse it for sure. Let's go to our final Bleacher tweet. And again, not really a question, more so just a statement. But Scotty Barnes, he's chiming in on our brief conversation we had the other day about other spots for a baseball road trip. The Louisville Slugger Museum in Kentucky, the Ty Cobb Museum in Georgia, and the Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum in South Carolina. You ever been to any of those?
No, and the Louisville Slugger one is interesting to me. I mentioned that I got to see a playoff game when I was 11 years old, sitting next to Pee Wee Reese of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He knew my uncle, who ran a sporting goods store in Manchester, New Hampshire. And Pee Wee, the reason why I got to know him was because he worked for a Louisville Slugger. And so partly because of that, and partly because it'd be cool to go and watch them make bats, I think I'd love to visit there. That's for sure. That's a great idea, Scotty. Thank you.
Good thinking. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Let us know what you're thinking about theoretical baseball and how all this is coming together, everyone. Thanks for listening.
That's it for today. My thanks to Mr. Schoenfield, Hembo, and to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. And remember, hate and inequality based on race is something we should fight against every day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.